And welcome everybody to The Family Gamers. I am your host, Andrew, and I am here with
Anitra.
And this is episode number
10.
I actually need all of my fingers on both hands to count the number of episodes that we have done on this show.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
It's a good time.
You having a good time?
I am already
excited for tonight's episode.
Yeah, I can tell. You are pumped.
Ooh, I am so pumped. Look at me. I am pumped. I'm not really pumped. Anyway, we are actually pretty excited to bring this episode to you because it's all about games, which is really not that much of a surprise, but it's...
Aren't all our episodes all about games?
Well, we are the Family Gamers.
Yeah.
But this week's episode not only is just about games, but it's about the act of turning real life into a game.
It is.
We are going to talk about gamification this week, and we are going to announce our next contest.
Yay!
Because giving stuff away is awesome.
Everybody likes free stuff.
Everybody likes free stuff. So, I think we're going to start the show the same way we always do. And I'm going to ask my lovely wife, Anitra, what she has done this week.
Well, let's see. We're still playing a lot of the kitchen remodel game.
The kitchen remodel game is a great game, and it is coming to a conclusion this week,
I will
we
be
hope.
So happy when it is done, which should be soon.
I want to get the rest of our games out of the basement, which can only happen once this is
once
done.
Once the kitchen is done, yes.
Man, we're looking forward to it.
But we did play some actual games this week.
Real-life fake games.
Yeah. In our regular gaming group, we played two games this week. We played IOTA.
IOTA is a game... I don't know. Have we talked about IOTA on the show before?
No, we haven't.
Maybe mentioned it. So IOTA is a game made by Game Right, who is a publisher that we have talked about.
Yes, we like Game Right
a lot on the show. And they specifically made this game to travel.
Yes. It's not what you would call a travel game.
Right.
Because it's... When you play it, you need a lot of space.
Yep.
But it transports very well.
I want to say, you know, I'm thinking about the container... And
it's like a 2.5 inch by 2.5 inch
like by three quarter inch one or something
tin.
Like that.
It's
it's a tiny little tin. It opened like remember the old school Band-Aid containers, the metal ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is, right?
Yep.
And it's these little tiny cards, and it's a lot like Quirkle, game Quirkle, where in IOTA you have every card has a number, a color, and a shape.
Yes.
And you can play these things in lines, and any two can go together because that establishes a pattern. But then, in order to play a full lot of four cards,
you have to maintain
the
pattern.
You have to maintain that pattern. So if you put two together in the same color, but they're different numbers and different shapes, then the other two have to be different numbers and different shapes from the first two.
But still the same color. Yep.
Exactly. So...
It plays a little bit like Scrabble as well, in that you're always playing, you know... one or more cards in a straight line, as if you were playing a word in Scrabble. And your points are based on all of the lines made with the cards you played, not just the line you're directly playing, but any lines that are also touch that.
Right. And as per our custom, we played with three players because our game group was small this week.
Yeah.
And you and I got wrecked.
Oh, my goodness.
Our friend who, the first time we played this game with him, it was the three of us again.
He wrecked us then, too.
And
he's got the magic touch for IOTA.
He definitely cards. Definitely the right cards. Definitely the right cards.
Yeah. The cards like him.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Definitely
the cards. Thanks, Rain Man.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But we played another game, too.
Mm-hmm.
We played, depending on your accent, Guillotine. Or if you're more French, Guillotine.
Guillotine. Who won? Do you remember who won Guillotine?
I remember it wasn't me. That's all I got.
I don't think I won either. So probably he won everything.
Probably.
So if you're listening, Taylor, you have to bring the treats next week.
Yes. the Oreos depend on you.
Yep. So talk about Guillotine. I love this game.
Guillotine was introduced to us by a friend about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an awesome game. It is the game where you get ahead. Basically you're collecting nobles and other people that are being beheaded one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And they have different point values and you have actions that you can play on your turn to move people around.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, you know, well, let me move this guy around so I can take the high point guy, and if I can't manage to do that, well then at least let me move this other stuff around so that my opponent takes a low point guy or a negative point guy.
Yeah, and there's a couple of cards, like if you have the count and the countess, you get bonuses.
You get extra points, yeah.
Stuff like that, and blah, 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 blah.
It's really simple in concept. It is a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, it's very tongue-in-cheek. It has an almost, like I guess the art style is almost Munchkin-esque.
Almost, yeah.
Almost, right? But it has a little bit of this sort of unapologetic... not quite Monty Python humor.
Yeah, it's the art style is it's not quite line drawing, but it's fairly simple, a little bit mm-hmm. cartoony, mm-hmm. And definitely injects a little bit of extra humor.
Right. And you know what? Honestly, it's a great game to play with kids in the sense that there's nothing like crass or inappropriate. There's no, sexual jokes or whatever. I mean, I mentioned Monty Python, but there's really nothing like that.
Yeah, there's not much innuendo or anything.
And it's, yes, you're executing people, but it's so far removed from reality.
Yeah.
That it really is a pretty fun game. And you know, it's something that I think, you can really have fun with. So yeah. We didn't play with our kids, but I think that's a game that we probably could play, at least with Claire, because she could.
Yeah, we would play with our kids. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to christen it in our gaming group.
Sure, because this was our first time.
This was our first time with our own copy of the game. What else did I play? I played some Wii Music with our daughter.
She loves that
game. She really loves it. It's not really a game. It's a
meta game.
It's a simulation.
Yeah.
And she doesn't care that it's kind of poorly done, so that's fine. For what it is, it's all right, but it could be a lot better.
I don't think you need to defend Wii Music.
Yeah. We bought a copy of Earthbound from the Wii U shop.
We talked about it either last week or the week before, and I was shocked that you would
never really play it. And so I started to play it. And it's
a weird game, huh?
Well, it's also definitely that 80s style of...
90s.
Is it 90s, really?
It was a Super NES game.
All right. Well, it's that late 80s, early 90s style still of... it really doesn't give you any help at all.
That game is so good. And it doesn't make any sense. That game is so on average. I love it.
I haven't gotten to the really crazy stuff yet.
Oh, wait until you get to Starman. He's the best.
But it's been cute and fun so far.
Hmm? I actually really enjoy it because I'll be working or doing something else more or less in the same room and you're sitting there with the Wii U pad and you're playing
and you hear the music.
And I'm like, oh, it brings me back. It's so good. I, on the other hand, have been playing more current games. I also played IOTA and Guillotine. I go back and forth on pronunciation. I apologize. But I've been playing some more Rocket League and MLB 15 The Show because I'm trying to get back into actually using a console since in 2 weeks Fallout 4 comes out.
Oh, Fallout! Oh, I also I played a very, very small amount of Fallout Shelter with our older son.
Did the iPad crash again?
Of course it crashed. Our iPad can't handle it, but he's still, even though he can, it's 3 minutes of loading for 5 minutes of gameplay before it crashes, he still wants to play it.
Hey, whatever.
It's a very addictive game.
Way to go, Bethesda. speaking of the iPad, I have been playing more Lords of Waterdeep because I have a problem.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. But I think, you know what, that's pretty much it. I don't really think we've been playing all that much because of the kitchen.
Mostly
because
of the kitchen. Yeah,
which is a real bummer. But
it's also why this episode of the podcast will be a little later in the week than most.
Yeah, by a day.
Finding time to podcast is also not that there hasn't.
We're
been
the
much.
Worst. We are the worst. Anyway, so we're gonna take a break. We will be right back, and then we're going to talk about the contest.
Yay! There's a contest.
Okay, bye.
And we're back.
What? We're back? What? Oh, man, we're back.
Did
hey,
I catch
we're
you
back.
Off guard?
No, it's fine, honey. Right. I'm great.
So.
Contest.
We have a contest.
We do. All right. So here's the deal with the contest. You may remember a couple of weeks ago we had Andy Jeremiah on the show.
Oh, we did? He was great.
And he was awesome, and he is awesome, and he has donated to us a copy of Maze Racers to give away this year.
That's awesome.
So we are going to give away a copy of Maze Racers. I'll even ship it. and pay for the shipping.
That's pretty awesome.
Because I'm that kind of guy.
Aww.
All right. So here's what you got to do. If you want to win a copy of Maze Racers, which, by the way, is like super popular. They completely sold out of their first printing and they had to print more.
Wow.
Yeah. He's doing a really, really great job with the game. And, you know, we talked about when we went to see it at Boston Fig. And
we like it. It's a great game.
The place is packed. And Asher loves like making designs on the boards and stuff, which is super fun. So here's the deal. So as you know, my lovely wife, we live in Massachusetts.
We do.
In Massachusetts, there is a place called Davis Farmland. And Davis Farmland is famous for something.
Yeah, the Davis Mega Maze.
The Davis Mega Maze.
At least one group, maybe CNN, has called it the number one corn maze, field maze in the world. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty awesome. So what we're gonna do, since, you know, we're giving away a maze-based game, we live in Massachusetts, they have the Mega Maze. In order to win a copy of Maze Racers, what we want you to do is tell us your maze-related story.
So maybe you got lost in a maze? Or maybe...
like a paper maze, like you got lost.
That would be so cute.
Like if you got lost in a corn maze and you're weeping and they had to bring the helicopters in to save you or whatever.
Or maybe you're a parent and you brought your kids to go in a corn maze.
Sure, that would be fun.
You know what that was like. We did that a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Never bring a stroller in a corn maze.
Yeah, don't do it. Maybe one of those jogging strollers with the big huge wheels.
Maybe. Never bring a traditional stroller.
But anyway,
bad idea.
You know, maybe you like got to go to Europe and see the cool maze gardens they have there.
Oh yeah, those are neat.
Maybe like, I don't know, you went to see Maze Runner.
Maybe.
Like whatever.
Maybe you've done one of those like meditative mazes that's printed on the floor and you got to like walk around on it. I don't know.
I've never even heard of that before.
Oh, yeah.
That seems really earthy crunchy.
It is.
Oh. Well, anyway.
It's neat, though.
So, yeah. So just like we did with the Hero Kids, we're going to have a contest post for Maze Racers.
Yes.
And what we want you to do is go to our Facebook page and leave a comment on our Facebook page. The Family Gamers Facebook page is facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA.
And tell us there about your maze experience.
Yep.
You know, tell us a story.
Yep. Tell us your story. And if you really, really don't like the Facebook thing, you can go to our website, thefamilygamers.com, and leave a comment on episode 10 with your maze story. So we will pick a random winner like we did before, but if you don't have a maze-related story, you're not going to win. So we'll pick somebody else.
Yes,
so,
we will throw those out.
Oh, for shame. No. But anyway, so I'm hoping we get some really good stories.
I'm hoping
too. And we'll read them on the show. It'll be
awesome. Of course we will.
All right. So this week we're going to talk about gamification.
Yeah, gamification.
And we'll talk about the history of gamification a little bit. So there was a guy in 2002 who really kind of coined this term.
Yeah,
right?
Nick Pelling.
Yeah. So he was like a professor of something.
Computer
smart.
Science. Yeah.
Yeah. And what gamification is
taking something that's not a game and trying to make it more fun and engaging, make it more interesting by making it like a game.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up an article when we were talking about this show, and I liked these basic characteristics as a list. That it gives you simple, recognizable cues for your next action. It gives you clear and instant feedback on the actions you do take. Instant is key. That you have an easily identifiable marker for ranking you against other people, you know, for seeing how well you performed. And that you have an easy path to further achievement, whatever that is.
Right.
Also in the article, it pointed out that this isn't just pointsification. You need to actually help people by rewarding them with doing things they're already interested in doing. If you just try to, you know, say, oh, well, we're going to do this, you know, give points for this and give points for this. If it's not something people are interested in doing, it's
right.
Not
the points don't have any value. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So this whole thing, I think this really got popular with the Xbox 360 introducing gamer score and then introducing achievements, because it kind of created this like meta game.
Yeah.
That was outside of the actual game experience,
yeah,
where you could do things within the game experience to get these like little badges or achievements or points or whatever.
Yeah. And a lot of other systems latched onto the achievement idea at about the same time. World of Warcraft did, mm-hmm. and there were a couple of different PlayStation or PlayStation Portable games right around the same time that also did the achievement thing.
Right. And then even now, you know, you see it a lot with mobile games where you get like 1, 2, or 3 stars depending on how well you did at something.
Well, and you might not realize this, but in the last 6 months, Apple bolted on achievements to their Game Center thing on iOS.
It's so awful because, you know, now beating a game isn't beating a game. You have to beat the game and then get all the achievements to like, really beat the game. You know what I mean?
Only if you're a completionist, Andrew.
Like me.
Yes, yep. Like you.
So, all right. So, here's the thing. Why are we talking about this? This is the Family Gamers. You know, how do we relate this whole concept of gamification to families and to the family dynamic? And is it a constructive thing? Is it a negative thing? And we really started talking about gamification because I had stumbled across an image that I think has been shared probably all over the internet that says at the top, "Congratulations, you got grounded. To get ungrounded, you must earn 500 points." And then, you know, there's a thing that says, like, what they got grounded for. And then there's a list of tasks that says, you know, do this thing and get 10 points. Do this thing and get 50 points and so on and so forth. And it really led to some interesting conversation on my Facebook page about, you know, is this a good thing? Is this indentured servitude? one person said. And then, you know, another one of our listeners said something, you know, really interesting, which was that what it did was it allowed motivated children to work their way out of trouble quickly, right? The more motivated they are, the
faster they can get themselves ungrounded.
Yeah. And that really kind of, it reminded me of a lot of things. Do you remember, I want to say a couple of years ago, they were trying to have this ad campaign about getting your kids more active. And the mom mom was asking the son or whatever to get her purse or something like that. And she kept saying, oh, no, maybe I left it on the bed. Oh, no, maybe I left it on the couch. Do you remember this commercial?
I remember it now, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, making the kid run around the house. And it was this kind of almost this sort of trickery kind of game idea where she's getting her kid to run around the house. And so, you know, I was looking at this with this list of tasks, and it really kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, well, because I had pointed out to somebody else on your Facebook conversation there that, you know, if this kid is like a teenager, pretty much all the tasks on that list are things that they should certainly know how to do. Mm-hmm. And most of them are things they should be expected to do, if not on a regular basis, at least once in a while.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I mean,
so this isn't like, you know, oh, do this thing that you've never done before.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I looked at this and I said, well, I mean, a lot of these things are the kinds of things that you would expect to be doing as chores in order to get an allowance. And so maybe now you have to do these things to get out of trouble instead of receiving an allowance or something like that. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I lived up in New Hampshire where we heated our house with wood. How weird is that?
Oh, boy.
And we used to get a cord delivery and we would have to stack it.
Did you have to split it too?
No.
Okay. No. Not so bad.
No. We were in southern New Hampshire. and we would turn that into a game. We would turn it into a race of who, you know, I would start on one end and my brother would start on the other side. And we would see who could stack, you know, their set of wood fast. It wasn't even a set. It was a common pile.
Yeah.
But like who could get to the middle fastest thing. And those kinds of things can really become motivating factors to do things that would otherwise be miserable.
Yes.
And that is, you know, something that's really, really interesting about the concept of gamification where, you know, I'll use like an Assassin's Creed example. There's like 500 of these stupid flags in Assassin's Creed in the first Assassin's Creed game.
I've seen you, yeah.
And the idea flags of trying to just get all those for no good reason is miserable.
Yeah.
But there's an achievement for doing it. Right? So, yeah. Making these processes or these grinds or whatever they are a little bit more tolerable in that context in a video game. But, you know, with stacking a cord of wood for a 16-year-old and a 10-year-old.
It's a lot of work.
It is, and it's miserable. By the way, I gave him a pretty hefty head start, for what it's worth.
Well, you're a good big brother.
No, I'm not. But, But so, you know, we really wanted to talk about gamification as a way that we can get our kids a little bit more involved in doing things around the house or motivating them to. You know what? They do this with reading.
Oh, yeah.
Like the summer reading list. Like, that's gamification.
I think of the old school, the Book It program with Pizza Hut.
Oh, man. Come on,
you got,
free pizza?
You got the little stars for doing a certain amount, and if you filled up your badge with all the little stars, then you got to go to Pizza Hut and get a personal pan pizza.
I mean, if free pizza is not a good motivator, I don't know what is.
It's hilarious, because back when I was at the right age to be doing the Pizza Hut program, mm-hmm. I actually didn't like pizza, but I loved reading. And so you'd
fill them out and sell them?
I would fill them out, and then... And then
give them to your mom, and your mom would get free pizza.
My best friend would come to Pizza Hut with us, and she would get the free pizza, and I would go get like a bowl of pasta or something.
That's funny. That's a riot. So you know, how can we really leverage this gamification idea in the family? So let's talk about that. There's a lot of things that are really good when you look at maybe things that need to be done in the house, or maybe even, you know, things that your kids have to do for school, like homework or whatever, that you can make a little bit more interesting by gamifying them.
Sure.
Right? But what are the kinds of things that would be helpful when looking at an environment and trying to gamify it? What kinds of things would be good guidelines, maybe, that, you know, parents could follow?
Well, you start with setting a goal and making it be a measurable goal. Mm-hmm. So, with some things, this is easier than others. Wash the dishes. You are done when all the dishes have been washed.
Yeah, I mean, chores are pretty easy because they usually have a well-defined beginning and end. Unless
point.
It's laundry.
Oh, my goodness. Laundry. Well, and that's why, actually, on that grounded, you know, points sheet, mm-hmm. it had one load of laundry. But it even then, it's got a defined end where it's you wash it, you dry it, and you fold it, and you put it away.
And by the way, that one task is worth twice as much as the next highest task.
Yeah, it's 100 points.
Yeah.
Do that 5 times and
yeah,
you're done.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a good one, because actually, personally, with laundry, I'll usually be like, okay, well, a load of laundry's done, and suddenly I have 4 baskets full of clean laundry sitting mm-hmm. in various places around the house. It's done, but it's not really done, because it hasn't been put away. So yeah, making a specific end goal mm-hmm. for whatever the task is. You know, how about something less, something that's less concrete? Reading. If you have a kid who struggles with reading, struggles with getting enough reading done, you say, you need to read for this many minutes. You know, 5 minutes if they're really little, 15, whatever.
Or X number of pages or something.
Or, like, yeah, or a certain number of pages. Yeah. And so something like that gives you a goal to say, I'm going to do this much, and maybe mm-hmm. I'm going to split it up a little bit now and a little bit later. But just having a goal isn't really enough a lot of the time. So in addition to having a really measurable goal, mm-hmm. you also want to have some sort of reward for the incremental progress as you go along. So laundry is a great example because... You know, there are so many steps in even getting a single load done.
And the key to that is that it's not only like, okay, well, you've done this, good job, now do the next thing, but finding a meaningful way to reward that incremental progress.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you know, we're talking about this in the context of this kid who got grounded and whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I look at something like this, I'm like, all right, well, I'll make a deal with you. First, if you read 2 chapters of your book and then you do the laundry, we'll go out for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you do your laundry and then you put it in the dryer and then you fold it, we'll go out anywhere you want.
Mm.
Right? So there's incremental improvement on whatever the reward is.
Sure, sure.
So that really helps with, instead of just saying, you know, I mean, we talk about this all the time, like with weight. Well, you're looking at, you know, only try to lose 1 pound first instead of looking at the fact that you've got to lose 100. You know, this, because when you have incremental progress, it really allows you to kind of get the ball rolling and move on to the next thing and the next thing, the next thing. And so even within this gamification concept, it's like, all right,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the steps can be bigger if whatever it is, your child doesn't, you know, struggles with it less.
Yeah.
But if it's something that's really, really difficult, maybe it's, look, you've got 10 math problems on your sheet. Let's do 2. And then we'll talk about what's easy, what's hard.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get a cookie.
One, and well, here's a great thing, especially for younger kids, although as a mom, I do this too. Having a checklist or a chore chart or something where, oh, you've done this thing, now you check it off on your list, or you have a magnetic chore chart and you can move it from the need to do to the done side.
Right.
And
visual accomplishment.
That gives you both a visual cue, and it's in and of itself, it's a little bit of a reward to say, hey, I'm done with this thing, mm-hmm. and now I don't need to do it anymore.
And, you know, another thing about that you just kind of reminded me of is one of the key things to successful gamification is having the task list be abstract. And what I mean by that is you can do, you know, many of the things on the list are not prerequisites of other things on the list.
Yes.
So if it's like, yes. I cannot cope with doing laundry right now, but I could probably sweep the floor in the kitchen. I could deal with that.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not like, okay, you need to do one and then you need to do two. And, you know, maybe there's some of that in certain things like laundry. Yeah. You can't really dry it before you wash it.
Right.
But having just a general list to say, look, this thing that you need to do, you will receive a reward for.
Yeah.
This other thing that you need to do, you'll receive a reward for. I'll be frank with you. I don't really care if you do your homework and then sweep the floor, or you sweep the floor and then do your homework. Because to be honest,
as long as they both get done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that allows our children to have some agency without feeling like we're micromanaging them.
Yeah.
And yeah. that is really a key to making something like this successful.
Yeah. And another key, well, and in something we're looking at that talks about how to gamify things, it says make it social. And again, I'll go back to the chore chart. A little bit of healthy competition between siblings, that, you know, that even if they don't have exactly the same tasks, if they have the same sort of display of a chore chart of some sort, they can be like, look, I only have one thing left to do today. You know, you still have three things left on your list to do today. I am winning.
This reminds me of back in college when we had the same partner for a project.
Oh.
And you and I were both horribly, horribly overworked.
Oh, but horribly overworked.
He had managed to put his schedule together so that all he had to do was these two projects.
Yep.
And he completed his work for each one of our projects and spent the rest of his time goofing off, and it drove us nuts, but we couldn't say anything.
Oh, my goodness. As long as he was getting his work done.
Exactly. And, so that's exactly what, you know, I can imagine the day when Claire is sitting on the couch doing whatever she wants and Asher is complaining, I'll say, because he's still got stuff to do, and
yep.
it's you know, you reap what you sow,
or maybe vice versa.
Maybe,
yeah,
we'll see.
But yeah, and so, you know, that's one way of making it social, sort of within the house.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, and if you really want to get into the spirit of the thing, you can do chore charts for everybody, including mom and dad.
Right, tell me about it.
You know what? It might help in some ways.
Maybe. But I mean, ultimately, you know, what this whole thing boils down to is for parents, it's very easy to say no.
Mm.
And it's very difficult to have it. It's not difficult to congratulate our kids when they do something right or they do something well, but it's difficult to congratulate them and reward them within a structure that builds upon itself.
Yeah, well, and it's hard to reward something that has to keep getting done over and over and over again.
Right, right. So, you know, this idea of gamification, it really takes some of the mundane and puts something, you know, interesting around it and puts rewards in place that make a lot of this stuff that is really like a slog through everyday life,
yeah,
a little bit more tolerable and a little more rewarding.
Sort of on the achievement idea, I was just thinking of something that I know happens in school as well, which is having something where you build up over time to say, okay, you've done this once, great job, you know, but you need to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, after you've done it 20 days, 10 days, 30 days, whatever it is, we're going to keep track. And when you've hit this number of times you've done it, then you get a bigger reward. We go out for ice cream, or you get a, you know, $5 toy, or, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. That is gamification in a nutshell.
Yep.
We had mentioned to each other, and I just wanted to say really quickly here, gamification can also be applied to things that are not nearly so onerous, because one of the things we discovered with research and gamification is it really works best with things that people are already interested in doing and just need a little extra kind of push.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I thought of was geocaching.
Yes. Yeah, we did talk about that. Geocaching, first of all, geocaching is super cool. So if anybody doesn't know, the idea behind geocaching is that there's a bunch of websites and societies, really are all over the country, where they post where these geocaches are, and it's a latitude and
yeah, GPS coordinates.
GPS coordinates of where, you know, usually it's like a weatherproof box with like some stickers and stuff in it, or a stamp or whatever. And what geocaching essentially is gamifying hiking. And so you take like a Garmin, like hiking GPS, and you hike through the woods until you find, this location, you search around, you find where the geocache is stashed. And then, the spirit of it is that, you know, you would maybe take something out and also put something back in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you kind of go on your merry way. And that's a super fun thing to do with kids because you're in, you know, you're actually outside.
You're out in nature, but you have a goal, you have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, hey, we're going to go out for a hike. And the kids go, yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe you're lucky and your kids actually enjoy that kind of thing. But, you know, we just bought a fancy new camera, so I'm hoping that we get some more hiking.
But before we go, there's another form of geocaching that does not require a GPS.
Okay.
That's called letterboxing.
Yep.
In that one, you follow clues to get to where a box is. But they usually involve, you would have like your own little book or something, and then there's a stamp, and you can stamp it in your book.
Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, I mean, and those same are the kind of things that, I mean, your kids can't be so young that you have to carry them through the woods, but really younger kids, like probably, I would say maybe 6 to 12, really like latch onto something like this and get super interested in it. And then, you know, if your kids have internet time that you allow them to have or whatever, you know, they can find stuff and bring it to you and be like, all right, well, I found this thing, you know, in the next town over, let's check it out on Saturday or whatever. And it that's a super cool activity if you're in a climate that supports it. But I recommend, you know, go to Google, search geocache and then your state.
Or
letterboxing and your state, and you'll probably find some stuff. There's stuff really all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be it for us this week.
There's so much more we could talk about, but we are out of time.
We are totally out of time. We actually are over time. It's overtime. Sudden death. But don't forget about our contest. We're giving away a copy of Maze Racers. To go to our Facebook page and find the contest post.
Yes.
Comment on the contest post with your story about mazes, your experience in or around a maze, whatever it might be. Make it the best story ever. And then hopefully you will win that prize. Anitra, what's our Facebook page?
Our Facebook page is facebook.com/familygamersaa. What's our Twitter page?
Our Twitter page is twitter.com/familygamersaa. You can also check us out on our website,
thefamilygamers.com.
And Anitra, if you want to email me, you would email?
I would email andrew@thefamilygamers.com. How about you?
I would respond to anitra@thefamilygamers.com. This is getting ridiculous. Check out our show on iTunes. Please leave us a review. We cannot explain to you how much that means to us. Feel free to subscribe to the show. Share it with your friends. And that's going to be pretty much it for us.
Hey, and tell your friends, we have a new feature on our website, familygamers.com.
Mm-hmm.
If they like the idea of a podcast but can't really deal with all the technology involved, there's now a way to subscribe to our podcast via email.
Yeah, which is like the coolest thing
ever. It will send the MP3s directly to your mailbox.
Which is nuts. Also, I almost forgot, but coming up in the next couple of weeks, we are actually going to have a special episode where we talk about Christmas gifts. Things that you can buy for the kids or the kids at heart in your life.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some cheaper stuff, some things that are maybe a little bit more affordable, more like stocking stuffers.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to, you know, go hardcore, we'll talk about some really cool, bigger stuff.
Yeah.
That you can pick up for your loved ones.
All right.
So.
I'm excited.
Until next week.
Play games with your kids.